Hey everyone, and warm welcome to the Inner Peace and Happiness podcast. Today with Nuri Eduardo, and in the most tropical location we have ever recorded. Nuri, warm welcome. Where are we right now?
Right now we're on Koh Phangan, actually. I came today from Koh Samui to meet my buddy Chris, and now we're here. And it's actually I'm really grateful in a certain way, because it's in a certain way it's crazy, because we met in Köln, right?
At the Greater Festival with Tony Robbins,
and And you were the only person over there where I'm like, I need to connect with this person. Like, with no one else, like from the speakers or something, I was like, okay, I need to connect with this person. And I waited for like 20 minutes, like everybody was talking with you. And now, a few months later, I think 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah, it was actually not super long ago.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And where on Koh Phangan are we? Like, I don't even know the name of this beach.
I don't know either.
Oh, nice.
I have no idea.
So we found this beach which doesn't have a road coming to it. And we decided this could be a great location for the podcast. So I hope that you love it. And I hope that the sound quality is good for you all. How did we get here?
Actually, I took the jet ski from Koh Samui and picked up Chris from Hatrin Beach, actually. Got a little bit in trouble with rain, some rain here, some rain there, sun is coming, rain is coming, up and down, but yeah, we made it. So now we took the jet ski and we went like two or three beaches further. So if you recognize this beach, maybe you know, maybe you can tell us, because I actually don't know either. Or we check maps later.
Yes. And for the definition of happiness, so happiness is actually like when you feel good, but it's also due to circumstances. So this would be like currently, like, yes, we have very, very beautiful circumstances, but actually what we want to go like in this podcast is inner peace. So inner peace is like where you feel very at rest and good, but without these good circumstances, right? So like soon I'll be also back in Europe and on a rainy day in a cold city. Wow. And then to still have the same inner peace, that's what it's all about. So actually, sorry for recording this in a tropical place. They didn't mean to. But maybe we will start first with a couple of happiness questions, and then also, so Nuri is also a very successful entrepreneur. We'll also go into his fuck ups, because that's where we can learn from a lot, as we all know. One of the companies was a helmet company, yes. Right? But you have various. But we'll go into this later if you want. Let's maybe begin with what's uncommon advice on happiness you can give to the audience.
So right now, right from the beginning, the question is, what is a common advice on happiness? I think happiness in a certain way is like, it's the biggest challenge for humans to be happy. So I'm a really like structured person in a certain way. I try to like build concepts, like frameworks around things. So the first question I would actually ask myself would not be like, what's the advice on happiness, but what is happiness actually in itself? Like, what does it mean? And then based on that, you can go step by step. But let's consider this question. Like, for me, happiness is well-being. Mm-hmm. So if I'm well, like physical, mentally, emotionally, and even like financially, if all of those areas are kind of like in balance, then I have no other chance, there's no other way as being happy in that situation. So my common or uncommon advice, I would say, is to make your happiness a priority. Like, really say, reflect on the question for yourself, like, what does happiness mean for me? Like, what is it? What are the moments I feel joy? What are the moments I feel stress? And make kind of like in status quo of your life, and figure out like what are the things that you could improve to get closer to your desired goal. And I would really separate it in like those kind of four areas: physical, mental, emotional, and financial, and then really dive deep into it and try to get rid of all of those expectations we might think we have towards other people, and really for once just focus on ourselves. Think about it and define for ourselves like what are the things which we want to improve, or like where we want to spend more time with. Because that is at the end, if you have those qualities that you can say, like, I have a healthy body, my mind is good, my emotions are good, I don't have like too much external factors which like take down my energy, then there is no other way than becoming happy step by step. Wow.
All right. Yeah, and this is like a very great advice when it's about happiness, which is based on, again, circumstances, right? And for inner peace, which is like the next level after happiness, is like going to a state of where you feel inner peace regardless of circumstances, right? So let's say someone who is very, very close to you dies and you grieve, and like you will cry a lot and you have a very hard time, but you still have deep down this deep feeling of feeling conscious and feeling at ease, like, you know, like at this deep inner peace that you have. And I think that's also something that we should all aim towards. But first, having the circumstances that it's a bit easier for happiness, it makes it a bit easier to then build in the habits which will bring you more inner peace. One thing I love, minus 1,000 things I love about you, but like one thing I really love about you is the decision that you took recently of going full in on your passion, right? Of like your, and maybe you can explain this a little bit, because I think that's always good for inspiration for others, of like, how can someone connect fully to what they are, what's their ikigai, you know? Right. Like,
to be honest, for me, like, where do I start? So I'm kind of like a entrepreneur by heart. Like, I can go a little bit in my past and tell a little bit of the background story, but if I go too far there and like swift away, just let me know.
This is your episode. But for me, we want to know who is Nuri.
When I was a child, like, I grew up without my father. Mm-hmm. And so it was my mom and really close by my grandma and my grandpa.
In Baden-Württemberg, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, here, for the audience who is non-English speaking, we are recording this in English for you.
Yes, exactly.
We talk in German, but considerate of everyone, this is an English one.
So my mom told me that one day I came back from kindergarten and I told her that in kindergarten, everybody says the man, like the father, brings home like the money and takes care of everything. And my mom was at that time, she was a kindergarten teacher, but she was like, due to some illness, she couldn't work anymore. And so I decided, like 3-4 years old, like, okay, I'm gonna make the money now. I'm gonna try to find some ways. And I started to selling Kinder Überraschungseier, Kinder surprising eggs.
Yeah.
So I started collecting them, going to flea markets, buying them from kids, selling them to collectors. And that's how I made my money till I was like 11 years old. And then at a certain
props to that, eh?
And that was actually really cool, because even like with 6-7 years, I already made like 200 D-mark. It was at that time, like on a weekend. And every,
it's a lot, yeah.
It was a lot. Every day I went to Pennymarkt and I went to those eggs and I'm like, shake them to figure out like, where's the hard figure? Because when it's a hard figure, I already knew like, okay, it's definitely a 5X, because you buy for 50 cents, you sell minimum for like 2 D-mark. So every day I bought like 10 Kinder surprising eggs, and I took the chocolate.
So you're kind of a reason why other kids didn't get the good surprises, because you're kind of expert at listening.
Exactly. I made it my sport and really always like try to get the egg like connect with the chocolate, so that the figure inside, if it's not too strong connected, can like move by itself. Mm-hmm. And that was my strategy. So I did that till I was 11, and then the market didn't work anymore. And then I started to figure out about internet, and I started on eBay and sold different kind of stuff, bought stuff from China, and had like different kind of experience along that way. And it was always kind of, at that time, it was still about like figuring things out, really trying to see like, what are the options, what are the possibilities. I also, like, with 16 or 15, I started to sell like digital products. I sold like some kind of like an ebook, a guide for 10 euros at that time, to explain people how to find like foreign channels in the internet to watch like a movie. So if you're like, let's say you are Turkish, but you're in Germany and you want to access your Turkish television, then I had basically the explanation about what website, where not to click, so you don't get all the advertisement, and how to get to your channel you're looking for. But eBay went then and told me like, okay, it's not possible. You cannot sell that because you cannot ship it. So I was like, okay, it's not possible. So I do something else. So at that time I was still like, okay, you tell me it doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't work. And now today I'm thinking like, damn it, I should have really go full in on like digital products, because that's actually a really, really big thing. And then with 18, I started with selling motorcycles, actually, mm-hmm. ATVs. So the thing was, I always wanted to have an ATV. Yeah. So what I did was like...
And now you have a jet.
Exactly. Now I have a jet ski. And I always wanted to have an ATV, but I was like, no, I'm not going to pay like 20,000 euros for an ATV.
Yeah.
So I went online, I did some research, and I found some suppliers in China. And at that time still, I had no idea what I'm actually doing. I had no idea about motorcycles, no technical background, nothing. But I found like nice ATVs for a price of like $1,200 to buy them, and in a really nice color and stuff, but I didn't have any cash to actually do it. So I think for like 6 months before I turned 18, I think, how can I make a business out of this, with the sole goal actually just to have a jet ski for myself, and in the same time, like, yeah, make some money like selling jet skis to others. So I made an auction on eBay, and I decided to give my visitors the opportunity to customize their ATV.
Yep.
To choose the tires.
Can you maybe for the audience, for people who don't know what an ATV
is? Like a quad, like a motorcycle, but with four tires.
Yep.
And so they had the option to customize their own ATV.
ATV, yeah, quad. Yeah.
And that went actually really well, because I was 18, I went to the government office on my 18th birthday. I was like pumped of like, okay, I'm gonna launch my business today. I go there, I get like the registration, I ask like, can I start? And like, yeah, it's okay, you start, but you're gonna get some documents. I'm like, okay, I launch. So I launched my ATV business, and in the first month I think I sold like 120,000 euros of ATVs. But the problem was again, the problem was again that eBay was like, hey, we need to prove that you actually have those ATVs. And I'm like, I don't have those ATVs. Because I was still like really honest. I'm like, where's the problem? I don't want to cheat anyone. I'm like, I would just have like, I have an idea and I have the contacts. I'm just like bringing customer and
together, you come in.
I just bring them together. And they say like, no, you cannot sell something you don't have. Mm-hmm. So they send an email to all of my clients, ask them not to pay because they think that I'm a fraud and I'm not going to send them products. So I tried to call and try to convince some of like really trusting me. And at the end, it worked out to maybe sell 10 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
But the other like 45, they all canceled. They were like, no, I'm not going to send like 2,500 euros. And then I'm like afraid I'm not going to get what I want.
Yeah.
And yeah, this way I went into motorcycles, ATVs. And from there I got to helmets, because I was like, if I sell motorcycles, why I don't sell helmets? So I thought like, okay, let's order some helmets, and I ordered like 100 pieces or something. And surprisingly, while with ATVs, I always had trouble. Like, you sent the ATV, they had to either like construct them themselves, or if they booked the service with me, I had like a garage who did the service. But those ATVs from China, they always had some problems. And if you're not like a technician, no chance. And the most garage at that time, they didn't want to touch those Chinese products. They said like, no, we are not going to take care of this.
Okay.
So every time when I sold it, I'm like, okay, nice, $500 profit. But then in the same time, I was like, okay, but soon they're going to call and they're going to have a problem and I need to find a solution. And it's always like this, this kind of wheel, which was really, really tiring.
Yeah.
So with the motorcycles, helmets, it was really surprising that those didn't make any problems. Like, people bought it, they kept it, they were
work.
Happy. Either it fits or it doesn't fit. Either you like it or you don't like it, which is for sure at that time was 40 euros for a helmet. Just the color, no branding, plain box, no logo, nothing. Just like really the helmet. And then I thought like, what about if I put a branding, if I improve a little bit like the inner design, the outer design, and make some details and stuff, then I can probably increase the price and probably more people go and buy it, because it's now much nicer. So it's going to convince more people that they want
and
to
have
it.
And it's also the thing that you enjoy most doing.
Exactly.
That you found what you like the most.
Exactly.
Found your passion.
I studied in Hong Kong at that time. Mm-hmm. I got a scholarship for Hong Kong, and I used the second half of my scholarship to move to China back and forward. Because if you study in Hong Kong, it's actually a big benefit. If you study there for more than 6 months, you can apply for a Hong Kong ID. even as a foreign person. And with this Hong Kong ID, you can go back and forth to China as often as you want. So it's like the craziest visa you can kind of have as a foreign, like to go into China and back.
Yep.
And I visited all those, like I got all those samples and I checked them out, and then I choose like which one I like the most, where I see the most potential. And then I traveled by myself to China and visited all those different kind of factories. And yeah, it was really interesting because to say like till today, I have no contract with even one of my suppliers in China. And we work together now since, how many years is this? 12 years? 12 years? No contract. Have really good connections with them. Like as good that sometimes if I'm like, hey, I want to order more so I can sell more, but I don't have enough capital. Those factories, they even give me like a credit of like up to 6 digits. So they were like, I got credits of like $200,000 to get products I didn't paid yet to then basically sell
the
them.
The moment you have trust, you don't need contracts.
Exactly.
I just started helping a very cool US company from California, and they also asked me for one. I was like, no, I fully trust you. You trust me? Like, yeah, but sure. And then like again, no contract, and then the trust builds up. Yeah, yeah. Like,
so this was really good, and this worked really long. And then when in 2016, like till 2016, that's like 8 years in, I did everything by myself. Like the ATV business I did by myself, then the helmet business I did by myself. My mom actually worked a little bit with me. And everything like most focused, like being kind of like a solopreneur. But when I start traveling, actually, I jump back and forward a little bit. Mm-hmm. When I start traveling the first time in 2010, I really decided for myself that everything I want to do, I want to be able to do it from abroad while traveling. So I didn't want to build a business that doesn't allow me to be flexible in where I am. So All of my structures since 2010, I always focus on like, okay, it needs to be set in a way that it doesn't matter if I'm in Germany, in Italy, in France.
As long as you have Wi-Fi, you can work.
As long as I have Wi-Fi, I have my mobile phone, or at that time, laptop was actually necessary. Nowadays, a lot goes with the mobile phone.
Yeah.
I was good. And 2016, I then started a cooperation with a friend of mine at that time. Because I had this dream of like working with somebody together and together like building nice stuff. And he has the skill of like IT and design for like web design and stuff. So all like this digital design and digital development would have been like covered by him. But what I didn't look at that time was I didn't consider the variable of like common values. Because values at that time for me, like probably I knew that values exist, but I never really reflected on them. Mm. I never really thought for myself what's important for me in a relationship, whatever kind, like loving relationship, friend relationship, business relationship. And at the end, it's all the same, to be honest. And I had to go through an experience where I really had to realize that if you going into a partnership, even if you have like different kind of skills and from a skill set perspective, you can really grow and thrive together. If the values are not aligned, if the direction is not aligned, or if there is grief or jealousy or anything involved, then it really blocks you more than if you would go by yourself. So I always say, like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And if you want to go far, go together, yes, but really choose wisely who you decide to work with, and ask yourself in a certain way, do I want to cooperate with that person to kind of like solve something I'm missing in my life, or do I really feel that connection and feel like, okay, this is really going to be something really nice? So yeah, that was my journey. Helmets since 2012, still selling helmets today. So it's like 11 years already.
But now with great design. They got very, very beautiful. Yeah.
And 2019, I finally, like from 2012 till 2019, I always like back and forth, Germany, traveling. So in average 4 to 6, 7 months a year I was traveling, and the other time I was in Germany. So Germany was always like the time when I like really hustled. And then when I traveled, I enjoyed traveling and I did my stuff, but mostly keep things running and doing the things I really like to push the business, but not really, like how to say, not really working hard on the business. But because of the structures and the systems, it worked well. Like I traveled for 10 years. I visited like 52 countries, almost half of my life in a certain way. Since I'm 18, I'm like abroad. And I really, really enjoyed that time. And in 2017, 2018, for the first time, I felt like coming back and forward all the time, it really doesn't make sense from many perspectives. One perspective for sure is taxation. Taxation in Germany, if you live in Germany, you know what I'm talking about. It's not really supportive. And more than even the taxation is the time. Because if you have a business in Germany, then the time you need to invest to actually run that business and stay aligned with the requirements from the government and stuff, like all the paperwork with the taxation account, like with the accounting and everything, it's just so energy drawing. Mm-hmm. So one side was the time, sure, taxation is a thing, but mostly it's really like the energy of like not feeling like really free of doing what you want to do and always feeling like, oh, can I do that? Can I not do that? What kind of things do I need to make sure? Otherwise, what could happen to me? Because there are always like these big problems which could occur and you're like kind of like have fear that something can go wrong. And so 2018, I started to organize myself and figuring out like, what do I need to do if I want to leave Germany? And it was quite a long process of at least like 6 months of really going back and forth, getting information from here, from there, doing own research, asking other people in the online industry. And at that time, to be honest, was not really clear. Even today, I think for the most people, if they now would just do research like how to leave Germany, immigrate to Thailand, or do I need to immigrate somewhere, or can I just be like a free resident?
And now you immigrated to Thailand? That's your resident like, fully? Or?
Officially, it's not really. Like, I have my home here, I have my house here, but as I'm not living here full time, I don't have to have that as my core residence. But you could do it. Like, yep. You can do it. And in different kind of cases, it's kind of like, I use this address for everything then. Mm. But it's not, you don't have to. Like, you could be free and just like have no residence at all. But it gives you some problems if you want to open a bank account or something, because they want to have an address, right?
Exactly.
So it's a lot of trial and error, and then just like you need to try it and then you figure it out. And even like at the end of 2018, I was like, okay, I think I invested all the time and energy I could invest to have like the best setup I could imagine for myself. But till I try, I'm not really sure if it's going to work out or if there are some things I'm missing or which are not as easy as I think there are. But now it all turns out well. And I went for 6 months with my best buddy, Kevin, to South America, 5 months South America, 1 month USA. Mm-hmm. And that was the second time in my life after 2010, actually. So kind of like 10 years after or 9 years after, that I really felt 100% free, like really in my, like, as you said, inner peace. It was like, everything was perfect. Like 2010, the first time, Dubai, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, 4 months traveling with no expectations from anyone. Like, I didn't have to do anything. I had my money saved. I had like 20,000 euros for those 4 months. I spent 15,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And I knew I'm going to travel for 4 months. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'm going to start to study. So it's like, it's always those chapters. Mm-hmm. And then in a certain way, I enjoyed that so much that I was like, okay, that was what I said earlier. Like when I start traveling like this, I was like, okay, I need to keep doing this. And then you try to find this balance between productivity and lifestyle. And it's for every digital nomad out there, for everyone who's traveling and doing business, we probably all know that like when we're at home, when we're at our desk in our safe environment, we are just more productive. Like we can do much more than if we just like always on the run, changing locations and all that stuff. But along the way, step by step, you can improve and you can optimize. And now I actually feel really productive even like when I'm traveling, but it's still the same. When I'm at home, I'm the most productive from all senses.
Yep.
And in those 6 months, it was like the time when I really reflected on my life, because I was like, okay, my goal was till I'm 30. And at that time I was 29, or I turned 29 in that year. Till I'm 30, I want to be retired. That was my goal since I was 16 years old. I was like, okay, when I'm 30 years old, I don't want to do anything anymore. I really do not want to do like nothing that does not every like serve a bigger purpose in a certain way.
You still want to work, but you want to work on your life purpose.
Exactly. I don't want to have this financial insecurity of like, oh yeah, but I still need to make more money so I can have a home, so I feel safe here, there and there. I really wanted to have this security because I felt I needed that to then really allow myself to breathe, to reflect, and to really define what I want from life, what do I like about my life, what I don't like, what are the things which are working well, what are the things that are not working well, and then really like step by step analyzing my life. And in the same time, for the first time actually, I looked what other people are doing. Till then, I didn't want to know much about like other opportunities, whatever, like affiliate or this and that, like, because nowadays, if you go online, how to make money, 1 million options. And at that time...
Most of them not really good if you search like this.
Well, most of them, they tell you can do it fast, but I have to say, like, if you want to do it right, in my opinion, there's no fast. Yeah. There's no fast track. You can go faster if you go with people who are aligned with your values, aligned with your direction, aligned with your definition of life. But you cannot go from here to there and just skip the whole self-development journey on itself.
Exactly. Like I think you have to become that person. And if even if you already have like the character that you need to have, it's not going to be like crazy fast. You can have like a medium fast with hard work.
Right.
But what people sell you is the easy way.
Right.
And that's not like
it doesn't
like
work. It's if not there's sustainable.
Like if there's like if there's an easy way to get this, no.
No,
it's always a phase where you have to work really hard, and you have to accept it. And right. That's yeah.
While in a certain way, if your only goal is to make money, to be honest, it works. I told you the story about the jet ski. The jet ski was a bet I did with myself.
Yeah,
basically saying like, okay, trading. If I really focus on trading and not doing like 10 projects in the same time, and trading is just one part of it, can I actually make money without of losing everything? So I took $10,000 and I'm like, okay, $10,000, let's see what I can do in a month. If I earn enough to afford a jet ski, then I'm going to get myself a jet ski. 16 days in, I made $25,000 out of those $10,000. I bought myself a jet ski and I said, okay, I'm going to stop to do this trading. Even it makes a lot of money because it's such a headache.
Plus, exactly, such a headache. Plus, it's very good that you had this goal. Because if not, you keep on trading until you also lose
exactly.
A big amount.
Exactly. If your goal is only to make like a lot of money, then a lot of money, there's always more money.
Yeah.
And there's always somebody with more, and there's always something you might like to have which costs more money that you need to work harder and harder. Exactly. So in those 6 months, as mentioned, really reflected on my life and kind of like redefined in a certain way what I desire for myself.
When you are reflecting on your life, that's very interesting for the audience. Like, What were you doing? Like, were you reading some certain books, or just like you know, like sitting down a lot, thinking what you want, or like more feeling, like not thinking but feeling what you want? How was your reflection process?
First of all, I got the luck that, like, with my buddy Kevin, like as mentioned, 5 months South America, 1 month USA, we never fight it in 6 months, really. You know, it's like we could 100% be ourselves. Like, I'm not the easiest person because I have really high expectations towards myself. So if I spend time with other people, I also in a certain way project those high expectations towards other people, which I do not necessarily always want to do. But in a certain way, I do that.
It's good to be conscious of that. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's,
and with Kevin, the good thing is he never any of my, maybe when my communication was not so perfect yet, when there's still like a certain emotion coming through the way I'm like pronouncing a word, or I'm like my mimic or whatsoever, he never took it personal. There was never like a strong like issue between us. So for us, and that's what I want to say, the environment was the first thing which was really important. I felt really safe being myself and just like flowing with who I am, not being judged by the person I'm traveling with. And for him, the same thing, because we all have our pros, we all have our cons. Definitely. And we need to figure out for ourselves what are the expectations we can have towards other people. And did we actually already communicate those things with one another to then allow ourselves to together in a certain way agree on certain things we want to commit in our relationship to. And that counts again for friendship, for business relationship, for love relationships, for kind of like everything.
Exactly. And like I think it's a skill of like to not take things personal. And it's like something where we have to be conscious about and learning this, because those humans who already have developed this skill more, like Kevin had,
yeah,
they are the best humans to hang around with. Like, they're the best people to start businesses with, to start relationships with. Like, and like, I think also it's like everyone who's listening to this, like, also our responsibility to become one of those person who takes very little, or in a perfect world, nothing personal.
Yeah, the and Four Agreements, really good book to I would recommend.
100%. Like, exactly. That's one of the Four Agreements in the book. Never take anything personal. And then there's a couple of chapters where I explain it very, very well. So better than we ever could explain it. But yeah.
And it's like, a really short book.
It's a very
really short book.
The best books are really short books. Really? Like, yeah, yeah. I'm writing a book right now. Like, it's a hard process, but it will be a very short one because you don't want this like 500-page book.
Exactly. I'm not the person either. Like, I never in my life read a book. So to your question, if I was reading a book or something, never in my life yet ever read a book. Mm. I tried once Harry Potter, 100 pages, and I was like, no, why? Why should I read that? My mom told me to do that, but I was like, no, when I was a child. But no books for me.
In this, we are so different. Books are life for me.
For me, it's audiobooks.
Exactly, yeah.
Audiobooks. I love audiobooks, but I cannot, like, I have ADHD, so for me it's like I need to do in a certain way multiple things, even I know it's not the best thing most likely, but I cannot concentrate just on a book.
That's one thing I always do when I'm in green tropical locations, and like, you know, in Bali or here in Kopangan, driving around on the scooter.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you have long rides, can be easily like 40-minute rides. And then I put one of the AirPods in, and I put the audiobook of The Power of Now.
Yeah,
I've already played it like 9 or 10 times now.
The whole book, really good.
The whole book through, but like, this is one of the few books you cannot read. Like, and if you like some, of course some people can now, but like, it's a very, very hard book to read, but it's a great book to listen to, especially if you're also doing another thing, when you're like just going through this, you see rice fields, you see green palms, like. Look at this background here. Right. By the way, we were so lucky. It was been raining the whole day. We came here, him on the jet ski, me and the moto going through the rain.
Yes.
And just for you, it provided, we have sun right now.
The best location
and
ever, no?
Butterflies going around
that's,
here.
That's my definition of freedom. That's why I bought the jet ski. Because for me, I don't want to go and like figure out like, okay, I need to go there, I need to pay them money, then I take the jet ski, then they only allow me to go a certain direction, I cannot go too far, only 30 minutes, 60 minutes. I could never do something like this. Like,
yeah, you cannot get to the beach always. No,
it's impossible. So this is freedom for me. I love to see the sunset on the jet ski at night, and just like...
How often would you take it out in a normal week?
Not too often. Really not too often, but... It's enough to know that it's there, and then when you want to do it, it gives you so much energy. Like sometimes I just go once in a month.
Yeah.
Really depends on the weather as well, like different kind of circumstances. Or when I'm not here, I'm not going at all, obviously. Yeah. But just to know that it's there, and to take it for spontaneous situation and be free to do those things. Then I can always follow my free will and either say like, no, I stay at home because I want to do that and want to do other things. Or I say like, no, to be honest, today I want to go on the jet ski and I want to see the sunset. So then I do that.
All right. one phrase I want to talk about now is never try, never know. If you never try things, you will never know the outcome. Can you please elaborate on this phrase, which... it's the name of your brand. So please elaborate on this.
Exactly. So NTNK, I can give you even the background story, which is actually from Thailand in a certain way. Like when I came, I'm not sure if it was the first time I came to Thailand, 2010, or in any of the other years after, because after that, every year I was here and exploring the country. And one night I was in Bangkok and I went through like a really dark alley. Like I don't know how I got there, but I'm a person... I love not to plan things, but just leave the house, the apartment, whatever it is, when I'm somewhere new, and just start walking.
Flowing with
just
it.
Just walk and see where I get. And then I'm in this dark alley, and you know this guy from Hangover, the small Asian guy from Hangover. I don't remember his name right now, but you know who I'm talking about, right? The kind of crazy one. Now imagine him, but a little bit of a bigger belly, and with a latex suit. And with a peitsche, with a whip in his hand. And I'm passing and he's like, come inside. And I'm like, I ask like, what is it? Like, what could I expect in there? Or maybe I even said like, no, thank you. I don't really remember. But he then just said, he just looked at me, took his wipe, smashed it on the ground, and said, "Never try, never know." And this was in my head for like so many years. And it came again and again. And in a certain way, I'm always reflecting on that moment. I'm like, he's so right. Like, there was this opportunity. I didn't took it. Like, I didn't went in. But I always ask myself again, like, what could I had experienced in there? So now this thingy with the brand, I really like it, like the slogan in itself, because it's kind of like reflecting my life philosophy. For me, you can get a lot of information from outside. You can get a lot of information from people, from books, from experience, from everything. But the only like true information that you can really use and how to say, verinnerlichen.
To really
believe it and really trust in that information is by really experiencing it. Yeah. So for me, if there is an opportunity to try something and the will to do that, and or like the upside is higher than the downside or the risk you can calculate or whatever it is, I like to ask myself always the question, why not? So why not? Like, experience are the best thing we can learn from. It's like with traveling, it's the, in my opinion, the best way for self-development. Traveling the world, connecting with like-minded people, exchanging information, experiences, and by that, like, kind of like grow together, learn together. So yeah, never try, never know is the first slogan with which everything started for this brand. And yeah, later on there were different kind of other slogans I also implement into my life. And in a certain way, this slogan in itself, it's not only a slogan, but it's really a belief. It's kind of like, it's part of my belief system. It's something that I believe to be true. Same thing like, life is a game, choose your team. I look at life and really, like, currently I'm really feeling in a certain way like I'm one actor in my own movie. Like, this is crazy already. Like, we meet in I said it at the beginning, we meet in Köln. You're the only person I'm feeling like connected and I want to talk to. 3 months later, we are sitting here and we're having a podcast together, talking about happiness, talking about life. And it's insane in a certain way, because it's like such a long journey from 2019 till today, 5 years. And for those 5 years, as you mentioned, really just always doing what I feel is the right thing of doing. Like, I went through a lot of hiccups. I lost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I lost like all of my savings in a certain way within of like 6 months.
So you had like, how many fuck ups you already had in your life?
I think you cannot count, because you like always a lot, have stuff. Like, with 14 years, I lose 600.
There's an event called Fuck Up Nights Barcelona, where entrepreneurs share their fuck ups, and most of them are like struggling of like, which one did I do wrong? What did I find? And you could go there and you could share like 10 stories, right? Like being sued by Apple for €1 million
exactly.
When you're 16 exactly. And then getting out of it.
Exactly. Or like with 15, I was like, okay, let's not sell like underwear and razor blades and t-shirts and stuff anymore. Let's go bigger and sell mobile phones and television. Mm-hmm. So you go online. I was 14 or 15. I go online and I do some research. And I find some people who offer actually like television and mobile phones, actually from Samsung. I was like, okay, how much is it in the store? Let's say in the store it's €2,000, and he offers it to me for like 300 or 400, something like that. And I'm like, yeah, why not? For me, it made sense, because from what I knew at that time, was like, okay, that's right off like 4 or 5x, should be okay. And you pay by Western Union, you never get anything. Then the thing with Apple, as you said, then with a photographer cooperation.
What's maybe like just share one that has the biggest learning for the audience. Like, what was the thing that gave you the most amount of growth of like, okay, like this really helped me in a way of like.
I think the biggest, like, another belief I would move in for that is my belief is, as bigger the challenge, as bigger the opportunity behind. Mm-hmm. So I would...
Richard Branson always says, like, Chris, take bigger risks.
Okay.
Like, take bigger risks. It's... And in our age, you know, like, take higher risks.
And not even like not even now on risk, in my perspective, not even on risk, because risk is in a certain way, then you are aware of it. You're like, okay, this is a risk, but I'm going to do it.
Yep.
But for me, more like a challenge, like something where you're really in a situation and you just don't know how you should handle it. You don't have the experience, you don't have the network, you don't have the necessary knowledge and skills to overcome that situation, to, for yourself, visualize the future with you actually solving this. Mm-hmm. And then the only, or like the belief I then implement is really to say like, hey, if this challenge is so big, what is going to come after that? So then I reflect on the past and I'm trying to figure out like, what did I already went through and managed? And I try to build my self-confidence through this. And by that, you try your best at the end to move forward. So I would think I take my biggest challenge then as like my biggest teacher, my biggest learning. And that was the thing which I actually already mentioned with choosing like a business partner, but then not choosing it based on values and direction, but really choosing it out of impatience in a certain way. Because I thought like, okay, this is an opportunity. This should work. Why not? Like my logical mind says like, makes sense. He can do this. I can do that. The skills fit perfectly. Let's rule the world.
And now life gives you two choices, no? Like now you have the choice to either do this error again. For example, when you're choosing like a girlfriend, right? Your partner, to not look enough for values, and you'll repeat, and you'll be like, oh yes, I have to really learn this, or to already learn this now and looking at values, like exactly. Aligning values. So you have two choices now, and the choice is yours always.
Exactly. And for this, the most important thing, in my opinion, is really self-reflection, which comes back to the point of like, what's the best advice or uncommon advice on happiness? It's really invest time in yourself. Mm-hmm. Reflect on your life. Reflect on your emotions, on your thoughts, on your general well-being. Mm-hmm. And figure out for yourself what are the things that drain your energy and what are the things that give you energy, and allow yourself to... Don't listen to other people. They tell you like, no, you cannot have it all. You cannot have like financial freedom, physical freedom, like well-being in all the areas. You should be fine with what you have, what we like to say in Germany. Mm-hmm. Sei doch zufrieden mit dem, was du hast. Mm-hmm. And I really say like, don't do it out of like, oh, I need more. Mm-hmm. But allow yourself to really envision the perfect life for yourself. Really mm-hmm. envision it. Use self-reflection, learn from your past to, in my perspective, arrive in the present. Because when you arrive in the present, which also like the power of now, be in the present. For me, it's being fine with the past, finding yourself through the reflection of the past, arriving in the present, and by that being actually able to visionize your future with confidence. And by that, really then shape your desired future and step by step for yourself, figure out like, what's the most important now for me? Like, am I maybe physically really sick and I should have a look at that? Or do I have a lot of like mental problems? Or do I get emotionally triggered really easy? What are the things when I reflect on myself, which I accept for what they are right now? But I also decide for myself that this is not the version of myself I want to still look at in the future, let's say in a year, in 10 years, 20 years, whatsoever. And considering you're 20, you're 30, even you're 40, 50, with today's opportunities, we don't have any rush. Like, imagine what you can do in the next 50 years. Like, what are we able to do? Like, we look and like, oh, they have more money, they have more power, they have more this, they have more that.
Doesn't matter.
It's all okay, all good. But we are a new generation, and we have like totally new experiences. And with, like, if you're 20 or like, in, like, doesn't matter in what age, like, the opportunities we have now to access information in this world is insane. Like, to then figure out what's the right information for ourselves, that's the big challenge. And for that, I really say, like, look for people you look up to, but not, oh, they have a lot of money, or they have a nice woman, or they have this. But really go on values and direction. Like, do I feel aligned with that person on a deeper level? And by that, consciously decide what kind of feedback, like, take feedback from different people. But consciously decide how you value feedback from other people.
don't ask like your little sister about how to change the tire on your Mercedes if your little sister is 3 years old and have no ideas about cars, right? You wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. So do it for different kind of areas in your life. Don't ask somebody who has a, sorry, fucked up relationship about relationship advice, what you should do in a certain situation with your wife or with your husband or with your girlfriend or whatsoever. But really figure out like why are certain persons in your life and do not try to find the one solution in one person, because this is something I figured we really often do. We are really good with someone. With Kevin was the same thing. For me at the beginning, those 6 months, I was like, yes, we traveled 6 months. Then he's going to get in love with the travel lifestyle. Then I'm going to let him join in my company and we build some nice stuff together. And at the beginning, this was my mindset. And at the beginning, I then felt like that this is in a certain way holding us back from being in the present and really enjoying.
Because you're like planning ahead and thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. And lucky me in a certain way, like in the second week or something of those 6 months, I already realized it. And I'm like, hey, the highest chance for us to really work together in the future, if it's meant to be, is to now just make the most out of the time we have and enjoy our journey. Mm. And no, we don't work together because totally different. He's working in a private bank and totally different kind of like, way he grown up and different mindset. But this really helped us to, it was the best 6 months of my life. Yeah. And in those 6 months, I decided that it's really possible. It's possible to be happy in every moment of your life. Because even in those 6 months,
it's like when it's not happiness, like you're possible to have feel inner peace in every moment of your life.
You're okay with what is.
Exactly.
You're just fine with what is.
Exactly. That would be like, because like, of course, when you're in the 6 months, like, you know, you can get ill, you eat something wrong, and you're not fully happy while you're vomiting because you have food poisoning, but you can still have inner peace in this moment.
You can be fine with it, like, okay, in a certain way, I knew that there is a risk if I go to this restaurant and I eat those mussels.
Exactly.
I had that in some way.
You can be more relaxed about it.
So,
you don't have to optimize towards happiness at this moment. You can optimize towards inner peace.
Yes.
And
so being aligned with yourself, kind of like, it's really like reflection for me is the most valuable thing. Mm-hmm. And you can reflect a lot on your own. I do like daily sessions by myself.
And how would you do it?
To be honest, it's music. Mm-hmm. I have my Design Your Life playlist, which when I found like tracks which bring me into a nice flow, like a nice state of mind and a nice flow, I put them all in this playlist and I play that playlist and I'm just like, I let my thoughts wander. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I smoke a little bit of weed and I just let go and I just see what kind of thoughts come up. It's like, what are the things which I might still need to communicate with certain people? What are the things which currently make me feel like restless? Or what are the things that currently make me happy? I'm trying to figure out why maybe I'm like in the situation I'm right now, I'm not 100% happy yet.
And in these moments, you're more feeling than thinking. No, you're like,
You feel like I start crying by myself. Like I'm in my hammock. I'm going
to bed.
It's really like I'm in my hammock. And I'm thinking about certain things and I'm trying to reflect on certain situations. Maybe even like a person in my life hurt me, like did something that I know that person didn't do it on purpose. But then I'm asking myself, why did that still happen? Like, could I have done anything better to prevent this from happening? And then you go deeper and deeper. And at a certain point, you find a solution, a framework where you generate this empathy and this acceptance for the fact that we are all like on our journey and that we are all like learning and that like sometimes hurting some people is kind of like, how to say, it happens. Like you sometimes cannot avoid it. And depending on the pain you're feeling in your life, those reflection takes more time or less time. But I do it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that since many, many years.
And what would you do it more in the morning, more in the night, or what?
When I feel it.
Okay.
Like for me, So
you're very connected with your feelings there, and you, when it comes, and you allow
it. That's the thing. Since 2019, I really like. I again and again I try things which I'm not so comfortable doing because it's kind of like it's a tight
tight balance between procrastination and trying new stuff. You know, like sometimes you think, do I now procrastinate or is it just not the thing I should do?
Yeah.
So you think about it.
I know exactly what you mean.
Because you don't want to get in this loop of procrastination, but you also don't want to be the one who finds excuses for not trying something.
Exactly.
So I try to record shorts and scripted shorts and this and that, because you see like, okay, we need attention, we need audience, we need to get people hear us, like to spread our message, right? So how do we do that? How do other people do that? What do other people say that we might should do that? Yeah. And you try different things, and you again you reflect on those situations, like how did you feel before, during and after? What is it? Is it really fulfilling you? Is it something you really like doing? And for me, I really realized I like to do the things out of flow. I don't like to have like crazy routines, but I have the, like now it's like it changed over the 5 years, like it changed again and again. You try so many different things. But now it's for me, the morning is the time where I do the thing which is the most important for me in general for my life right now. So for me currently it's health, because I say like I want to have, and with health we have again emotional, physical, mentally, financially. But when I say health right now, I'm talking about like physical health. So my focus is really in the morning to go to Muay Thai, to have massage, to not stress myself about anything. And when I did that, then from 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. when usually my massage then ends, I am free to do whatever I want. So
when people don't have stress, they probably look like three to 4 years younger than, like you probably looked very, very stressed and like you had like way too many boxes of helmets in a warehouse and so like, and now you're like-
It was always very, very okay in a certain
stress,
way.
Stress-free pretty well, like you look always younger than
Like if you look at people, sometimes they're 30, but they look like 45 or something. And sometimes you see people 40, 45 and you see like Heidi Klum is one example. I don't know how she managed it, but she always looks so young, even, I don't know how old she is already, but she looks much younger than she is. So stress is a really, really big point. And by that, maybe another thing for achieving happiness, because instead of, I need this morning routine, I need to take those supplements, I need to do these kind of workouts, I need to do this, 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 and this. And if I didn't do one of this or two of this, then I already feel I didn't do good enough, and directly I'm like feeling stressed about everything. So my perspective there again is again like less is more. Have like a few things you do, but also just do the things that you feel that you can implement into your life in a long scale, like in a way that you really say like, okay, this is something I could imagine to have my lifestyle like this. When I'm in Samui, I can imagine to have my lifestyle like 3 times a week going to Muay Thai, 3 times a week going to massage, 3 times a week going to play basketball, and the rest of the time to see what I feel like is the most efficient thing that I currently feel.
And then, I mean, a lot of times you feel inspired to make designs for your brand, right? Like, so like you, like when everyone, like, if, and when we go to Nuri's home, it's like everything branded, like it completely.
Keep going. I just increased the light a little bit.
Like perfect. But like that's something like, it's like everything, and like he just loves it. He just loves branding, designing, and like fully attention to detail. And you know, a lot of people they wouldn't enjoy doing this at all. And you found it, and you're fully following it.
I can
and
be like
complete attention to detail.
8 hours, 10 hours, totally in the flow, and I'm like, it's 6 p.m. evening. And I didn't eat anything, for instance. Like in the past, I started working in the morning, like there I had a different routine. Start like in the morning, let's say 10 a.m. And I just keep working. And at a certain point, I realize, damn it, it's dark because the screen is too bright. It's like it's hurting my eyes.
I was working
and
so
I'm
much.
Like,
and like,
oh,
getting in
it's
a
already
flow,
6
flow,
or 7 flow. Or 8 or whatever time. And I'm like, oh, I didn't eat yet.
Because you are fully working in the state of flow.
Exactly.
Because you're in the now, right?
Exactly.
We have like eight to 10 minutes left on the podcast, so I'll ask you two to three more questions that I really wanted to get out. And also, one thing I want to share with you and the audience is like something that is currently helping me a lot of like not overthinking and more like feeling and being in the now. Is like
when you're talking, I'm fully actively listening, but also when you finish a sentence and there's a break, right?
Yeah.
And you try to focus on the breaks, and but your brain has this fully conscious, relaxed moment in the breaks.
Okay.
And that's something like try to everyone if you listen to a podcast, if you listen to an audiobook or listen to someone, also like listen to the silence between the words. And this is something that really brings you to now.
Okay.
Because when you don't overthink.
Yeah.
So that's something that's one thing I learned the last 8 to 10 days, and it really enhanced my life. That's why I want to share it with you and with the audience. Yeah.
Nice.
It's like a new thing of like listening to the silence between words, or even maybe just later, like go for a walk here, just right. The silence of where is, no? Just hearing the palm trees and.
Yes.
Yeah. What I also wanted to ask is like, what can you tell the audience about Kopangan? I know you live in Koh Samui, but like the spiritual part of Kopangan, because you can go here anytime in 15 minutes with your jet ski. Yeah. So how is the island like? Maybe you can explain a little bit, like what's the island? There's like 11,000 people there. It's like quite a big island for an island style, but like very low populated. But what makes this like, in our opinion, special place?
So the thing is with Kopangan is it's kind of like disconnected from the normal world. Like the energy over here is totally different. It's much more relaxed. If you go to the beach and you meet people there, they're much more like, I would say, like you have different layers, right? You have the real extremes, but you have many, many layers in between. But in generally saying like the people over here, they are more relaxed. They are more like with the focus on happiness and enjoying life. While in Koh Samui, for instance, they are more like stressed, more like work focused. And it's more like, and Samui is more like a well-structured city than an island in itself. And Kopangan has still like this original Thai mentality feeling where you do not feel like you're not in a city, you're really like somewhere like stranded, but with a lot of people in a certain way. And in the same time, Kopangan has a lot of potential for people, but it also has a lot of risk. Because if you ask me, for me, in my opinion, if you come here and you come here with, let's say, too much trouble, too much problems, too much insecurities, and you try all those things, like maybe you try mushrooms, you try weed, maybe you try LSD, you try cacao ceremony, and all the things they are, like you can do like everything on this island in a certain way. You can get lost. Mm-hmm. You can really get lost in this spiritual heaven where you really just flow over this island and you're really not connected anymore with what I still believe like the real world.
Grounding in the real world.
Exactly. Like
you're not grounded anymore.
Like many people, sometimes I feel like if they now go to Bangkok or to another place where it's not like here, it might be really difficult in a certain way because it's a totally different energy. But I love Kopangan. I love Kopangan because it just has this calming energy. But for me, because I choose Samui not as a place to live, like for saying like, oh yeah, this is my place and there I want to live still the rest of my life, because I want to have a base.
So now the last years you built a house there and you finished your house there now, Yeah.
I finished the house 2020, yeah. Or like 2020, I moved in July. And then since then, you change this and that. I built an apartment below.
Yeah.
And the thing is generally that the house from the beginning, it was kind of like, I wanted to have something where I feel safe of coming home, where I know that everything is organized in the way I want it, where I can be super productive without of leaving the house if I don't want to. So to have what I did in Germany before of like coming back to Germany for 2 months or 3 months and really just like getting stuff done. And Samui for me is a place, get stuff done while really also doing everything you can for your well-being.
Being in a tropical paradise. Exactly. Doing your
you get
Muay
good food,
Thai,
you have sport, you have
the food here is
massage, you have everything you need. And in the same time at home, I don't feel like when it's raining, then, oh, damn, it rains. I cannot go outside. And it's more like sometimes I'm a week at home and I don't
leave.
I have
a question. Are you doing ice baths? Because my favorite thing here in Kopangan is the ice baths, where like every gym has like epic ice baths. So like since I'm here, I'm doing everyday ice baths and I'll keep this going until in 3-4 days flying back to Barcelona.
Actually, like 5 weeks ago or something, I did for the first time sparring with my coach for Muay Thai.
Yeah.
And I kicked him with my right foot and his elbow hit my feet. So all of my energy, or that is how I explain it, went to my feet, the focus. And in the same time, he punched me in my ribs over here. So I had no control over here. And it was not, I didn't even feel it. Like, it was not strong, nothing.
Mm.
But for 4 weeks, actually, I couldn't do sport. I couldn't lay on the side. And I had a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I did some research and stuff. And I like ice baths. Like, before I went to South America for, like, 3 months at home, like, during winter, I showered cold every morning. But then I decided I really need to get an ice bath, because I started to get worried after like 2 weeks that this is not getting better and better.
Yeah.
Then again, I did some research in Thailand and so on
about ice bath
and stuff. And my final decision was actually to produce my own in China again, to ship it then to my house. And now I have in my home, I have my...
And of course, it's branding. Never know.
Yeah, sure. So now I have my own like small, like how to say, tank, which is connected to a cooling system, and then you can cool it down up to like up to like 3 degrees, but yeah, 5 degrees is okay, 5-6 degrees, and this actually helped a lot. Ice bath, I can recommend to everyone if you have pain in your muscles, in your joints, if you want to improve your breathing.
Obviously, the colder you make it, the longer you have this effect. No? So if you go, so if you stay 2 to 3 minutes in a cold one, which like 6 degrees or below, no, like maybe 2 even. And you have proven that for 8, I have to check the facts, but I think it's 8 to 10 hours that you have dopamine release in your brain.
Okay.
And obviously it feels very nice.
And for me, like it was.
That's the thing; it gets you a little bit addicted.
And it's the value of comfort, that I do not need to leave the house and drive like 30 minutes to a place where I then can go in the ice bath, which is then maybe not even as cold as I wanted, because we don't have in some way like you have here.
Yeah, here, Koh Phangan, so, the best ice bath in the whole
like
world.
Like if I had this in front of my house, I probably would not need it. But in some way for me, it's like this way, if I want to, if I set it up and I keep it running, I can just like do it, cool it down overnight. And then I have it cold in the morning, and then I can turn it off for the whole day and turn it on in the night again. So in the morning when I'm waking up, it's cold again. And at the evening, it's still cold enough to do a plunge.
Exactly, for sure.
So it's really, really convenient. And I really felt for myself that adding an ice bath, which is located in my home, to my whole routine with Muay Thai and massage, it's like... It's the easier
you make the habit, the more you actually do it. Like exactly. You have to make it very, very accessible and easy.
Yeah.
It's been a true pleasure to having you on the Inner Peace and Happiness
already.
Podcast. No, it's not done. It's been a true, true pleasure. So what else do you want to share with the audience?
I don't know. What would the audience like to hear? What would be a question you really, like now really spontaneously comes out where you're like... This is really something I still feel.
Yeah. So now, like, let's say, like, there's this, there's this war subgroup where, like, one third of human population is in this group, and you're the admin, and you get to share some things that you want, like 2 to 3 billion people to know, and of course it will be GTP, but automatically in any language. Don't worry about this. But what's something you would love that more humans on the world would know and be aware of?
It's a really good question. I probably have a lot of answers to this. Life is too easy to be complicated. And often we overthink things and it's our ego which comes through and it tells us, less, no, you need to be unhappy. Through unhappiness, you will achieve this now. And it really doesn't need to. Like also relationships, it doesn't mean that if you meet somebody and you have a good time together, don't go with the expectation that this person needs to be with you for the rest of your life. Live in the moment, enjoy, be thankful for everything, and really allow yourself in a certain way to focus on yourself. Like allow yourself, and it's not selfish, but really focus on yourself, because if everybody in this world would allow themselves to just like slow down stop with the rush of, no, I need to work more, I need to do this and that, and because it's all like expectation from society. And really just like once, slow down, maybe not work even for a while, and just like breathe, reflect, and think about what you really want from life and what are the things you want to focus on first. And then step by step, don't rush, step by step, improve your life, and it's possible. It's really possible. It's like sometimes it's painful. Relationships are really important. Choose wisely. And that again, if you focus on yourself and you go through the self-development journey, you will do better choices also for your relationships. You will do better choices for yourself. And it's a journey in itself of like discovering who you are and who you aspire to become, and then figuring out like how you can get there. For me, it was traveling the world for 10 years, becoming financial free, but not really having like really strong connections to anyone, because you meet people, but you don't stay connected because you're not able to provide as much value to one another when you're so far apart from each other. And that was my challenge. That was what I set at my mind to, is like, I need to find a solution that I can live my life on my terms, doing what I love to do without of being selfish and really providing as much value as possible to the people around me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am now. And I'm really happy that I can be here. Like without those 5 years in a certain way of preparation till we met, like if you would have met me for 5 years ago, we probably would not meet 2 months later and jumping on a podcast. Or maybe 5 years ago, yes, but whatever. You know what
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
right?
I know what you mean.
It's like everything comes when it's time for it. Sometimes we want to plan and we want to imagine everything, and then we get frustrated when things are not aligned with our vision. And we shouldn't, because we don't know everything. We probably know almost nothing. Yeah. And we should be okay with this and just trust the process, enjoy the journey, and be grateful for all the experiences, all the connections, all the relationships that come in our life, and learn from everything, improve, become a better version of yourself, and focus on value rather than money, and also focus on experience rather than money. And if you focus on experience and providing value to others, I'm like so certain money will flow to everyone who is able to provide value to others, because money, while it's the focus of, I would say, the majority of people, it should be the last priority
the focus
of those four well-beings.
To provide value to others.
Exactly. Well, it's all about value.
That was a very, very beautiful way to end it. Exactly. Like also like how you explained, no? Like, the less of ego that you have, the easier it gets. Like, so the more you go to an ego death, the easier it is.
And be kind to yourself. Really be kind to yourself. Because I like it myself to then like, oh, you could have done better and you could have done here better and this and that. Because then you try to have a lot of empathy for other people, for instance. And then you ask yourself, where could I do better? And maybe you get in this trap of like thinking you're not good enough again. But then allowing yourself, you're on a growth journey. And as long you do your best, as long you have your values in place, really, another thing, define your values and define your direction. If you know...
Would you recommend to write them down somewhere or have like a...
You need to not only write them down, but really internalize them. And I can also share mine, like the three values I would recommend, in my opinion, everybody to start with. Because I have people, yes, I have values, authenticity, spontaneity, and this and this and this. I have like 20 values. Sometimes I do these, sometimes and I'm really like, do it step by step. Start with maximum. I like the power of three. Always three things, not more than three. After four, it becomes overwhelming. It's really difficult then to build a concept around it and keep it aligned if the other three are not like well thought through yet. And there I would really recommend, for me, it's respect, honesty, and communication. And all of those three, I have the strong belief, and I have now 5 years of, for me, proof that you only have problems with yourself, with others, with your life, with whatever, if you violate one of those values towards others and yourself, so be respectful to yourself, be respectful towards others. Mm. Communicate with yourself, communicate with others. Learn to communicate better with others and better with yourself. And always be honest with yourself and with others. Be honest if you want to make a decision out of love, or if you want to make a decision out of fear, because you're like the fear of losing someone, for instance. You might say like, no, I do that out of love, da 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 da. But internally then it might be really a fear of losing a person. So again, to the point, reflection. Reflection, values, figure out where you want to go in life, define your direction. Your values are kind of your sight barriers. It's like they tell you how far can you switch to the right and to the left, but the direction needs to be clear. And the direction is not 10 million euros, 15 friends, 20 friends. No, it's a state of being. It's a state of being, of well-being, physical, mentally, emotionally, and in my opinion also financially, because this is then also providing like additional fuel, if you want so, to the other ones.
Which way you can also help others. Yeah.
And then you go deeper and it's like, what is it that provides me more physical, mentally, emotional health? It's my relationships. It's my environment. It's my experiences. And by that, it's the value of my, the value of my reflections. And by that, the better decisions I do based on them. So, yeah. Never try, never know.
That was a perfect way to end the podcast. Thank you so much for being a guest on this podcast.
Thank you very much.
I hope give it up to Nui.
I hope it worked with the sound and everything. 2 years of preparation, no, 1 year of preparation of up and down and up. Was good, huh?
It was perfect.
Yeah, enjoyed?
Yes. Weltklasse, Weltklasse, wirklich.